How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On Lakers. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. I want to do a special live edition of the show right after the game where I'll be answering some of your questions, but I'll be joined on our full podcast later tonight or later in this episode if you've already downloaded it and you're listening to it right now by my co-host, Anthony Irwin, who is actually at the game tonight and will bring some in-arena observations for everyone. You can find the full episodes of Locked On Lakers and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave a review if it's 5 stars. That helps us out. More on that later. Stitcher, Audio Boom, Today's Fast Break, and Silver Screen and Roll. Today's show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Mack Weldon. Use the promo code LOLAKERS to save 20% on your first order of underwear, socks, sweatshirts, and more. All their stuff is really comfortable. So let's get into that game. Overtime. We got preseason overtime that definitely 100% nobody asked for. And it was really bad. And arguably worse than that overtime was D'Angelo Russell, who was just, as Eric Flynn says in the comments down there, because I can see those, he says D'Angelo was cold, it's just preseason. I would agree. I think it's probably nothing to worry about long term, but he was really bad tonight, at least shooting wise. He had 12 points, but it took him 21 shots to get there. He missed all 9 of his 3-point attempts, and he was a minus 13 in plus minus, if you're into plus minus as a thing. So I think I would agree with you, Imoni Jamal Adams, that it's a good thing that Russell is continuing to shoot and continuing to be aggressive, even if his shot's not falling. That's like it's good that he's, I think, maintaining that consistency of just continuing to be aggressive no matter what. I think that that's kind of what he's going to have to do. And ultimately tonight it didn't work out, but I think that's where he's best. So it's probably best that he doesn't give up on that. So he wasn't great tonight. Also not great tonight was the still starting, for some reason, Lou Williams, who was 2-for-6 with 5 points. He only played 20 minutes, was not so great, so we'll get past him. I still am not totally sure why he's starting, but as far as, you know, the good goes, I thought Randall was, again, really good tonight. I think he's been good for the last couple games. And his playmaking has been better, his shooting has been better, he finished with his right hand a couple times tonight, and overall I was impressed with him. He did make a bad play clock management-wise at the end of the game when he forced things with under a minute left and ended up getting a turnover that allowed the Blazers to tie it up and send this to overtime before, and so that was unfortunate, but I think overall I would say he was a net positive tonight. It was also good to see Luol Deng back out there after kind of missing the last couple games with the knee thing. He didn't play in the second half, but the Lakers said that that was just them being cautious with him rather than indicative of his knee continuing to bother him. So hopefully there's no long-term problems there, but ultimately I guess that we're going to have to see on that, which wouldn't be good since the Lakers just invested 4 years and $72 million in him. But speaking of long-term investments, probably the most pleasant surprise tonight was Timofey Mozgov. He didn't play much, if at all, in the second half, but I just thought he was really solid tonight. I think his rim protection was really, really good. He was living up to all the praise that Luke Walton gave him about being really good as far as verticality during the preseason. Luke, I think, called him the best at verticality in the league, and I thought Mozgov was really good on that end tonight. He was also good from the on offense tonight. He had a couple dunks. He was doing the types of he was setting those screens that we were hoping would start to free Russell up, and I think they were freeing him up. He wasn't making his shots, but that's what we need to see from Mozgov, is hard screens, rolls through the baskets, and dunks. And I thought he did all of that stuff tonight. Marcelo Huertas was the primary backup point guard. I thought he played pretty well in the role. He's still not really a scoring threat at all, but I thought his playmaking was reasonably good, and he didn't get he pretty much got torched on defense, but that's going to happen to pretty much anybody guarding Damian Lillard. I guess continuing to go down the roster, I thought Clarkson was pretty good. He ended up going 6 for 14 from the field. He's continued to kind of excel as a scorer off of the bench. I didn't think his defense was necessarily as good tonight as it's been in the other games, but again, Lillard was just roasting everybody, and so I think, you know, Clarkson was, he was okay. He didn't get too many cracks at Lillard, but overall I think he was pretty good. I would have liked to see him get a little bit more of a shot at Lillard, and I think if this was a real game where the Lakers were definitely 100% trying to win, that would have happened. But, you know, it does kind of show how many growing pains this team is going to have, that they lost to that pretty bad Blazers lineup down the stretch. And so I really, that wasn't great. And so I got a question on Twitter. I forgot who it was from, so I can't shout out your at, but it was basically, why is E on the team? E was, again, just really bad in the fourth quarter. He did get called for a very questionable foul where it looked like he got called for a foul basically just for getting thrown to the ground by, I think it was Ed Davis. And so that's not on him. But his rim protection's not good. His shot isn't he doesn't seem to be much of a scoring threat so far. His shot's really slow. His defense is just not good. I don't totally see why they keep him on the roster outside of kind of that advantageous contract, which is a benefit. If the Lakers want to trade him, then they can send him out and take on a player making up to $8 million, and the other team can cut E and only pay him, you know, a couple hundred thousand. So that is, you know, there is a benefit to that, but I just don't see, E has not done anything on the floor that makes me think that he should play a role for the Lakers. And again, it's just, we're 4 preseason games in, but he was just really not good. I don't totally understand why he's on the team, and I'll continue to hold that viewpoint until he changes my mind, but I don't really see that coming. I see Jimmy Franco, you're asking, why did Calderon and Zubats not play? Zubats, I don't know. I would imagine it just looked like they were trying to get more burn from E to see if he could give them anything. And Zubats is still really raw, so I think that they're taking things really slow with him. I think he's going to spend time in the D League this year, like I've said a lot. And then as far as Calderon, it sounded like they just gave him the night off. Basically, he was a DNP veteran in the preseason, so they just didn't feel like playing him. So I'm going to scroll through, see if I can find some more questions. Let's see, we had, all right, no other questions. So I see Eric Flynn asking if I think E is soft. I'm not sure if that's a pseudonym for the last Lakers head coach asking me if I think a player is soft, but no, I don't think that it's anything to do with softness. I just don't think that he's all that, I just don't think that his skills are all that valuable for this level. So, I mean, he wasn't a great NBA player his first time around. I didn't see anything from him in the Olympics that totally changed my mind, and I just don't really get why he's on the roster. So, it's preseason. I don't have a ton more thoughts on this game overall. So, I'm just going to go ahead and redirect you guys to our Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, after this, if you're listening to this on the Locked On Lakers podcast right now, I'm about to be joined by Anthony Irwin, who is at my co-host, who was at the game tonight, and he's going to bring me some in-person observations after the break. But if you're watching this on Facebook Live right now, I really appreciate you tuning in. You're going to have to subscribe to Locked On Lakers on iTunes. You can also catch it on Today's Fast Break, SoundCloud, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. And you can find all of our podcasts there. And again, use the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek to get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase, or use it on Mac Weldon to get 20% off your first purchase. So again, I'm about to be joined by Anthony Irwin.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
All right, and so now I brought in Anthony. Thanks for everyone who listened to the Facebook Live. And Anthony, you were at the game. So did the swag, does it just wash over you as Nick Young is sending out that much of it in person? Or is it, can you feel it? Is it like something that you hear? Is it, can you taste it in the air? Like, what is it like to just have that much swag coming at you at once?
I'm going to apologize in advance to anybody who got the visual of me tasting swag. Like, that just, that is not what people want to picture on their commutes to work. All right, so I'll say this, and I'll talk about the crowd here in a second, but he does resonate. There's no getting around that. When he plays well, you know, when he made his what would have been a four-point play, he missed the free throw and brought it back to being a three-point play. But when he made that play or whatever he was doing on the court, all those positive things really resonated within the people who were watching there at Staples tonight. And then the other thing I wasn't even able to help this, but there were multiple moments where I just laughed. Right?
Like, I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. We didn't talk about Nick a lot on the Facebook Live because I wanted to talk to you about it, but it was insane. He's went from someone that you and I talked about all summer. He's definitely going to be cut. Okay, all right. He's probably going to be cut after this little deadline that they're just waiting for some bookkeeping after that passes. Okay, no, they're going to cut him, right? They're still probably going to cut him. They aren't going to go into that chemistry issue. And not only have there not been any chemistry issues, but I mean, I was talking to Drew Garrison, our boss, on our last episode. And he was advocating basically for Swaggy to start. And then that was before tonight.
It's I mean, look, this is what we talked about, right? And I'm not going to claim to be right here on this at all. For those who went, and people have, you've gotten
Anthony
them too.
Told you so. I'll do it. I don't even know what you're about to say, but Anthony told you so.
But like we've been told that we were wrong on this, and it appears we are, right? He definitely is going to make the team. I don't think that's even in question anymore.
Yeah, neither do I.
And
I don't see any reason they could cut him at this point. The reason was possible chemistry issues. And, you know, I don't think either of us really bought that everything was going to be fine, but it's been fine. And he's played well.
And not only that, but he's played hard.
Yeah, on both ends.
Not just, it's, you know, there's the defensive stuff that people keep on noticing tonight, but he had a big put back and finish tonight,
yeah,
in traffic that should have been an and one, ref.
I don't know that I've ever seen Nick Young play this way. Even when he was so good under D'Antoni, it was different than it is now. And again, it's a couple preseason games. We have to throw that disclaimer into literally everything that we say about the Lakers on these preseason podcasts. But I mean, he's just been far better. I got laughed at on Twitter a little bit, like a couple months ago, for saying that I thought if he just kind of shot and didn't try to kind of dominate the ball and wasn't sent out there as basically a high usage guy, that he could be good. And that's kind of what he's done.
I can't think of very many plays tonight, maybe one or two, in which he took more than three dribbles.
They put the shock collar on him that just shocks him every time he takes more than three dribbles, I think.
That's forward thinking.
Yeah.
So and it made for not only a more efficient Nick Young, but a more aesthetically pleasing Nick Young.
and a more aesthetically pleasing Lakers overall.
Right. And I think this is something that the Lakers on the whole, now D'Angelo Russell's going to be different because he's a point guard and he's going to handle the pick and roll a bunch. But even in sets that start with him bringing the ball up the court, pick and rolls are only going to take three, maybe four dribbles in and of themselves too, right? So there's a lot more ball movement, a lot more people movement. That's another thing that I didn't even honestly mention or list here that I wanted to talk about. But the people movement that is going on the court, it was crazy to me. They fly around out there in ways that I didn't think they even could. And not just from a, you know, wow, they're moving really quickly kind of thing. It's a, wow, they're moving really efficiently and they're sprinting to their screen spots. They are, you know, even if they aren't going to catch the ball on a hard back door cut. Tonight there was a play where Jordan Clarkson catches a lob from Marcelo Huertas going back door. Do you remember that play?
Yes.
And then I think a few plays later, Jordan makes that same cut and it forces Plumlee to rotate into the center of the key. And now because it forces Plumlee to rotate into the center of the key, the entire defense, now somebody has to help the helper there. And there's the further help that needs to happen there. And the entire defense was leaning. And then the ball quickly rotated to the weak side that Jordan was going to curl around threes anyway. And he winds up getting a really, you know, basically a wide open runner from the elbow. I don't know if you remember the play I'm talking about.
I don't remember that specific play, and honestly, when you mentioned Plumlee, all I could picture was him looking like he had never been outside before today.
Yeah, there was somebody watching courtside with sunglasses on, and I think it was specifically for Plumlee.
Yeah, he probably should have worn sunscreen wherever he was at on summer vacation.
So, but yeah, and that's kind of, I didn't list that, and we'll get kind of back to the list so we get back on schedule here, but it really stood out to me that the player movement that was going on, and guys who just completely buy into, I have to move as quickly as I possibly can to make this set work properly. And last year, the criticism was, you knew who a play was being run for because that was the only dude on the court who was actually sprinting out there. And tonight, yeah, on all, you know, if it was weak side stuff that was going on, if there were screens going on, no matter what it was, the Lakers were all very rarely up against the clock. And that's a product of guys who really bought into the sets that Walton was calling. And for good reason, in all of the sidelines, out of bounds plays, they were good shots. Anytime they set something up in the half court, they got a relatively good shot. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're hoping to watch there.
I mean, they've all been playing unselfishly, I think to a man. I don't think I've seen anyone playing any selfish basketball, you know, despite kind of, and this will take us into our next thing, but despite D'Angelo Russell taking a lot of shots tonight, even he, you know, I think you pointed it out to me, and it was something that I wrote about a little bit tonight as well, but before we talked about this before going on the show. But Russell shot, I was fine with Russell's shots tonight.
Yeah, right.
And so was Luke Walton. Luke Walton said that he thought that most of them were open and you got to shoot that. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, he just said, like, if I make a couple more, then the story's different. Like, those were shots. The Blazers were not playing him that much differently than the Nuggets were. They were letting him shoot.
Right. It was very obvious whenever he had the ball, especially as he got closer to the basket, it was especially noticeable that guys were, you know, if he looked a certain direction, defenders were jumping into those passing lanes, you know, ahead of time, right? And honestly, that's what teams should be doing at this stage of D'Angelo Russell's career. If you're a coach and you're saying, you know, and Russell's going to have the ball a bunch, you say, all right, let's see if D'Angelo Russell can beat us. And in the game before this one against the Nuggets, Russell did beat them, right? He shot well enough, and he was efficient enough with the ball.
Both games against the Nuggets, I think I looked up the stat. He had like 50-some points on like 30 shots against the Nuggets over the weekend.
Right. So in both those games, yes, he played well enough to beat them. Now, it just so happens in the first one that the guys at the very end of the bench come in and kind of choke away a game there, but that's what those guys are going to do.
Shouts to E.
I'm going to buy you a EG Onleon jersey.
I will wear it.
but I would say, yeah, tonight, you know, if you're Russell, you have to take the shots that he was taking. And not only, like, I thought if there are times that a coach is going to lean too heavily on somebody who was missing shots, it's in the preseason. These games don't matter for a lick. They don't matter at all. So, nope. Like, down the stretch, when the Lakers needed a big bucket, the guys who were taking the shots were Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell, who happened to combine for, what, 1 for 15 from the three-point line?
I know Russell went 0 for 9. I don't know Clarkson's off the top of my head.
I think Clarkson went 1 for 6.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that stuck out is that Luke, even after the game, he was just totally behind them. And that's what I wrote about tonight. He just said, his quote was, "I encourage him being Russell, to keep shooting them if they're open. A lot of them he was taking were wide open."
Right. And they, like, were the right shots.
He said
to take.
That, like, he said some of them, like, he'd like him to be a little bit more of a playmaker, but Luke had to see the same thing that we were seeing, and that they're just those opportunities for him to make those passes weren't there that often.
Right. Again, I'm kind of going off script here, but let me know what you think of this theory or this kind of thought that kind of crossed my mind while the game was going on.
All right, here we go. I'm ready for it.
I thought this game, especially late in the game, played out like a perfect microcosm of what we're going to see this year.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Especially the overtime, right? Because they jumped out to like a 4-point lead. And
yeah, they're a young, promising team. They're going to have flashes of excitement. They're going to do some fun things, and then they're going to get beat by teams that are better and more cohesive.
Right, and they're going to find ways to lose the game.
Yeah,
like there were plays that happened at the end of the game that a good team doesn't make. Because a good team is used to being in that kind of situation. This is an overtime. I was actually happy that they went to overtime. Now, there's always the injury risk of just additional minutes that you know, take a toll on in that situation. But I was happy to see overtime because it's like, this is the first time this unit will ever play overtime together. And, you know, obviously losing isn't ideal, but they had
it was such a sweet
belt.
Moment they lost.
Yeah. I got there kind of late and midway through the second quarter because of traffic and stuff.
Typical Lakers fan showing up late, fan. SMH.
But I thought I was – so, you know, from a value standpoint, I was happy for the extra 5 minutes of basketball. But I think it's – that kind of stuff is good that the Lakers now have under their belt moving forward. And yeah, for those who get frustrated, and trust me, I mean, I wasn't on Twitter for most of the game. You were paying a lot more attention to social media than I was. But every so often I would kind of turn on Twitter really quickly – you know, go through my mentions or whatever's going on the timeline. And I saw a lot of the hot takery kind of returning in regards to Russell. You know, same old stuff, DeBustolo Russell or whatever it is. Or DeBustolo Bustle, is that what it...
I think somebody called him the best ever. Was somebody got really mad and called him a team cancer and said that his name should be Dismantolo Bustle because he's a bust that dismantles locker rooms. And this guy was 100% serious and very, very angry.
Look, I
remember last year after Snapchat Gate, and that was probably my favorite thing to ever come out of it. That was the funniest thing ever.
I can't knock the pun game, man. I can't do it. That's solid.
I mean, I was like, is this Anthony's like dad or something?
No, my dad can't figure out Twitter. We went off script a bit, and I'll kind of bring us back to it. And this kind of falls in line with, you know, Luke's comments regarding Russell shooting and stuff. But I was especially paying attention to the bench tonight. How guys got along, how, you know, the player interaction, the player coach interaction, the coach coach interaction, that was also interesting to me. And I tweeted it, and obviously Silver Screen and Roll retweeted it. But while there was a free throw being shot, I think it was Plumlee again who was shooting it. I noticed especially because it was just like the red in his jersey just
it looked like a fire engine went to the free throw line.
Just a Heinz ketchup bottle.
Yeah,
but I watched the bench while that was going on, and the Lakers in back-to-back-to-back plays had serious issues. They gave up wide-open shots in the pick-and-roll, right? And, Mozgov couldn't have been pulled away from the line because he has to get, you know, rebounding position there, especially with Plumlee shooting because there's a good chance he's going to miss the free throw anyway. But the guy who was pulled away for a second, at least for the first free throw, was D'Angelo. And then he's sitting there talking not with Luke Walton, but with Brian Shaw, and they were having, and I thought it, I mean, I couldn't hear whatever was going on, but the body language that was taking place there, Russell was looking right into Shaw's eyes. Shaw was doing the same thing. Shaw, I think, had his arm on Russell's shoulder or hip, you know, something like that, just kind of saying like, this is, you know, you could see that he was showing him something regarding angles. And then while that was going on, Luke was down at the end of the Lakers bench talking to Tarik Black about, you know, what Mozgov should or should not have been. And again, I'm guessing because I was on the opposite side of the court. But you could see he was very obviously showing Black, you know, the angles that he needs him to take in those kind of situations as well. And look, one of the most popular vines I ever took last year was of the former coach standing there by himself while the Lakers timeout is happening. He's just kind of staring off into the abyss. And that's
hello,
just
darkness, my old friend.
Exactly. And so you know, you compare whatever was going on there where he's just off in the nether regions that he happens to coach from. And you know, you look at what was going on there where the Lakers are not interested in wasting any potential coachable moments, you know, coaching moments. And that was really great to see. And then, you know, throughout the game when there was another moment where Russell comes to the bench and sits down next to Calderon. And there was a read that I think Russell felt like he missed. And again, I'm on the opposite side here, and it was
we'll get you a better directional mic for the next game.
That's
not actually anyone who is going to sue us. I'm not sending him to the game with a mic.
But what I noticed, you know, it was Russell who starts the conversation, who started the conversation with Calderon, and then Calderon, you know, kind of they were off in the corner of the court, you know, where you know usually that's the pathway to get to back to the locker room. And Calderon kind of pulls Russell aside, and you know they're having this exchange, and they're again very obviously talking about angles from which he could have found a pass. And I'm sitting there, I didn't see that once last year. Now, part of that is the Lakers didn't have really a veteran backup point guard who could show him that. And Calderon, for everything that he might be defensively at this point, has had one of the better offensive careers, you know,
super underrated offensive career,
right? And so he's somebody who's great to learn from in that situation, and that was really cool to watch. You know, I'm sitting there nerding out while it's going on, kind of elbowing my wife who was there with me, and Jen's more focused on, you know, the action. They were actually the game was going on while I was watching this, which is kind of funny, but I'm focused squarely on whatever's going on across the court, and that was really cool to see. And those are the little moments that are going to stack up, not just this year obviously, but as the years go along, those are the little things that good teams need to grow together. So pardon the rant.
No, I think you're right.
And actually she kind of saw some of the same stuff that was going on, and she was a soccer player. She didn't really, you know, she doesn't really know as much when it comes to basketball, but it was very obvious that, you know, yeah, there's just a different vibe. And the other thing too, I'm trying to think if Jen, I think Jen and I went to a game last year together. But when we did, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but when we did go to a game, she pointed this out tonight on the drive home, that it was like completely different vibe, not just in the crowd, you know, people who were just really happy to see the growth that the Lakers are, or whatever, people were really happy to watch tonight, but guys on the court just look like they like each other, which shouldn't be something that people notice after the fact, you know, but that's how the last couple of years have gone.
Yeah, I think, and that's what's led, I think, to so much shade and the continuing shocking, never lets us down reoccurrence of 50 Shades of Shade. I'm getting multiple people talking to me about 50 Shades of Shade a day now. So this is, it's the game that is sweeping Lakers Twitter, and we got possibly the best user listener submission I think that we've ever gotten earlier this week. And so, Anthony, I'm going to throw this one to you and ask you where you would rank it on the 50 Shades of Shade scale. Listener Devin Anand, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, at Devin Anand, same thing. He sent us a tweet that he sent out, and it said, legit eating dinner right next to, he said the name, but the former Lakers head coach right now at Isabel in LA. Tempted to ask his thoughts about at deloading blasting last night. So that's our, all right, that's a good tweet, right? D'Angelo Russell liked it.
Oh, no. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. This guy sent me a screen grab. I was like, all right, somebody's trying to get us with Photoshop. I went. I don't know if he still has it liked as of right now, but it was definitely liked in his life. And so I'm not scrolling through guys' likes, but if somebody sends one to me, then, you know, I'm going to notice that a little bit. And that made me laugh pretty hard last night. So is that another 50? I think that's another 50.
That's a 50. If he goes on there,
that's,
and he
like
likes
a 60.
It. it's 100. That's, yeah, just like, that's not even shades of gray, that's just black.
That is an air, that is a megaphone.
that's the shade of black that occurs only in like the deepest pits of space,
like, yeah. that's like, it's absolute black hole, like there is no, There's no gray there. No. That's there. It's not shade. That is all consuming darkness.
It's stuff like that. That, like, the former coach, that was as close as I'm going to come to saying that. But he needs,
I mean, that's
Twitter.
Amazing. We just spent 20 minutes talking about the new positivity of the team. And like, that's why right there. Like,
I just want to know, I hope Russell writes a book.
20 years, we gotta wait like 20 years, and then we're gonna get some amazing. Well, actually, we just gotta wait for the former coach's headbook, a new book, in like a couple of years. I have a feeling it'll probably be addressed or you can go to Silver Screen and Roll and read excerpts that were parody that a couple news outlets overseas ran with, which was hilarious.
Wait, those were parody?
Yeah, they were definitely parody.
Are you sure?
Yeah, okay, so now I can tell you're kidding, but I couldn't tell before. So, anyway, yeah, I think that's again, 50 Shades of Shade. Just keep sending them to us with hashtag 50 Shades of Shade. If you see something, say something.
That's a great one. To who was it that – let's give him another shout-out. Because
it was
phenomenal.
At Devin Anand.
Devin Anand. All right, way to go, Devin. Keep them coming to those who are listening. All right, I'm going to throw it now to – another popular segment, another popular game that has taken the nation by storm. Harrison, you are you ready for a hot take? Is your body ready for you to jump into character?
I mean, okay, so I've missed you a little bit. We've done the last three podcasts have been either just me or just you. So mm-hmm. I've actually been marinating this hot take for quite a while, and since I believe Friday, I think. And so, yeah, it's been burning me up inside. I think I'm ready to go.
I feel like an important note needs to be sent here that only one of us recorded twice the downloads are most.
Okay, popular. let's not get into the scoreboard here. All right, you and Adam did a great show, and that's all I'm gonna say.
All right, I should have come up with a hot take regarding those numbers. All right,
is Locked On Lakers better without Harrison? I would say numerically the answer is yes. Apparently,
my God. All right, so okay. Let's go ahead. Let's.
All right, so Anthony, I think that there's been some question about whether or not the Lakers are putting too much pressure on Brandon Ingram by giving him Kobe Bryant's locker. And I would agree. I don't think that you can I think that is too much expectations to put on a young player like that. I think that they're not only setting him up for failure, they are essentially guaranteeing failure by even putting him anywhere near Kobe Bryant's locker. I think you can't put someone there. And I think by extension, Kobe Bryant used to play basketball in Staples Center. I don't think you can use that arena again. I think it's disrespectful to Kobe, and I think that it's putting way too much pressure on these young players to expect them to light up the building in the same, in the same place. That did you know that Kobe dropped 60 in a game on his last game? They should have just demolished Staples after that. Actually, you know what? I think they should probably just demolish Staples Center because it just demolish the Lakers franchise, actually. Just fold the whole franchise. Kobe, as you may have heard, used to wear purple and gold. I think if you put those colors on another player, that is completely just setting them up for failure. It's too much expectations to put on anyone. The whole franchise has to fold. And actually, hold on. I mean, the more that I think about it, Kobe played in the other 28 arenas too. I don't think you can use those either. I think that you have to stop playing. Well, actually, Kobe played on Earth, man. I don't think they can play basketball again. I think it's putting too much expectations on these guys to live up to Kobe's legacy. I think you're setting up the entire NBA and the entire human race for failure. I think that at this point, we just need to root for a meteor to come and hit the planet just so that we don't have to try and live up to the greatness of Kobe Bryant. Kobe better.
All right, so my first note on this is this has definitely been festering for a while because this is the hottest take of all time.
The hottest take of we need to root for the hottest meteor of all time, I think, is what I'm saying. I don't think you can disrespect the Mamba's legacy by letting our race continue to exist. I think the entire human race, like, we need to hang it up on the 60-point game. I think it's over. I think it's too much expectations to put on anyone to ever play basketball or breathe air again.
All right, so what about people who, like, don't know who Kobe Bryant is?
Well, they're failures, I think, I would say. They clearly don't want to win.
They don't want... So, like, there are people who, like, live on some tiny little island, little fishermen out there who have no idea who Kobe is, and they don't want to win. I mean, that's why they're stuck on that tiny little island, right?
Yeah, they didn't count the rings. So, yeah, the entire human race, and I would argue the Milky Way, I think, is probably set up for failure by having to exist on the same plane of existence as Kobe Bryant. We just need to retcon this whole universe. It's done.
Can we at least just make sure Kobe lives on like Saturn with all that that planet's rings?
We need to shoot Kobe into space in a time capsule
and hope he lands on Saturn. Game,
I think.
And hope he lands on Saturn. Like, there is no other planet suited for Kobe than...
Well, actually, he said he wanted to go play on Pluto, so technically we're just granting his wish.
Except Pluto isn't a planet.
So. Well, I don't need to worry about science when I'm coming up with these types of things. I mean, we peaked. It's over. I don't think that anyone can live up to Kobe Bryant. Kobe better.
Kobe better. That's the hottest take in the history of Take-A-Tude.
Yeah, I mean... I'm just wondering if, existence needs to be a thing anymore. I think that it's putting too much expectations on everyone. But anyway, I don't know that we have anything that can really follow that. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and start us towards ending the show. But we have free stuff to offer you. So don't stop listening just yet. We are sponsored as of right now by Mack Weldon, and to honor Kobe's legacy, we have a little game for you guys to play. We want you to go to our iTunes page, put a 5-star review with just the words Kobe better, and we want you to do that. Once you do it, you send us a screen grab on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA, at HM Fagan, at Locked On Lakers with hashtag Kobe better and that screenshot, and you will be entered to win a pair of Mack Weldon socks. And they are incredibly comfortable. I cannot recommend them highly enough. They look pretty cool too. And we'll let you, whoever the winner is, we'll let you pick out the color. We'll message you for all that stuff. And yeah, so all you, again, 5 stars, Kobe better, send us a screenshot, and you'll be entered for a chance to win, honestly, the most comfortable socks I've ever worn. And I'm sorry for saying that, Grandma.
All right, let's go ahead and get Harrison out of here because he just ended existence, and he needs to somehow, you know, turn around and get ready for school and work, whatever he has to do tomorrow.
I mean, probably not much if that meteor comes.
If that meteor comes. As always, you can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Again, as always, we hope that you guys are using the LO Lakers promo code to get your $20 rebate. Like Harrison
said, on
SeatGeek
and a 20% off on your first purchase at Mack Weldon. So even if you don't win the socks, you can buy some socks yourself, or underwear, or sweatshirts, or whatever you want to buy there. All this stuff is great. We did not endorse it without trying it. They sent us stuff, and it's all great.
Yeah, it's insanely comfortable.
I mean, you guys don't want to listen to me talk about my underwear, but it's comfortable. I mean, if we're riding out our last days as a human race, as the Kobe meteor comes, then, you know, at least I was comfortable.
We need to get Harrison off the air. All right.
Probably.
We'll talk to everybody later. Shouts to Lindsey Hunter.